Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Thursday, January 8th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. We're now a week into the new year, and with it came a lot of new laws, including one that bans plastic bags at grocery stores and retail stores in California.
Those thicker recyclable bags are no longer allowed, and instead, stores really just have to provide paper bags.
Coming up, we will learn more about that law and many others that are now in effect. But first, these headlines. The city of Fresno reported one of its lowest homicide rates last year. Officials say the city has turned a corner after just 22 murder cases were recorded in 2025. That's the lowest number since 1974. Fresno Mayor Jerry Dyer says the 50-year low is cause for celebration since the city has long had a reputation for violence, especially among gangs. U.S. health officials this week reduced the number of vaccines that they recommend for children. As KVPR's Carrie Klein reports, Valley Children's Hospital says its pediatricians will stick to earlier recommendations.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reduced its list of recommended childhood vaccines from 17 to 11. No longer recommended is a vaccine to prevent meningococcal meningitis. Valley Children's pediatrician Dr. Ann Van Garstie says kids with that disease were some of the sickest she's ever seen.
It's absolutely frequently fatal, and devastatingly so. It's a horrific illness.
Another vaccine no longer recommended is for rotavirus, which causes severe diarrhea. Diarrhea kills hundreds of thousands of kids each year globally.
And rotavirus is right up there as one of the top infectious agents leading to those infectious diarrheas that kill children in the world.
Van Garstie says this change from the CDC is disappointing. Valley Children's will instead continue to follow vaccine guidelines set by the American Academy of Pediatrics. For KVPR News, I'm Carrie Klein.
The mother of a former Kern County supervisor accused of child abuse is responding to claims made about her in a recent court hearing. Kathy Scribner was facing allegations that she failed to report child abuse to authorities, specifically allegations involving her grandchildren. But Kathy Scribner said in a statement to local news outlets that she would never discourage the reporting of any physical or emotional danger to a child. As a member of the Kern High School School Board, she's mandated to report child abuse to authorities. California's Nonpartisan Legislative Analyst's Office, or LAO, is warning that changing how public schools are funded could come with major costs and unintended consequences. Their new report looks at what would happen if the state shifted from average daily attendance, or ADA, to enrollment-based funding. Currently, most state education dollars are tied to how many students show up each day. The LAO estimates that switching to enrollment-based funding would cost the state more than $6 billion annually. That estimate assumes that no school district would lose money under the change. But analysts say that outcome is not guaranteed. Michael Alferez is a senior fiscal and policy analyst with the Legislative Analyst's Office.
We're recommending the legislature maintain the ADA student count for school funding at this time. This is primarily informed by our assessment that switching to enrollment would likely result in a lower attendance over the long run.
Alferez says the current attendance-based funding creates a financial incentive for districts to invest in improving attendance, which has been slow to recover since the pandemic. Water agencies in the valley are urgently working to prevent the spread of an invasive species of mussel that clogs pipes and has few treatments. Our newsroom partner SJV Water reports the golden mussel was found last year in the Arvin Edison Water Storage District. The Fryant Water Authority has since been conducting a thorough inspection of all of its nearby waterways. Chemical solutions for the problem are not well established. The mussels must often be removed by hand, which is not possible within pipes or at scale. If the mollusk reaches Millerton Lake, environmental and infrastructure impacts could be devastating. The state has prepared an emergency response plan.
Thank you.
Support for Central Valley Daily comes from the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at Fresno State, providing short courses and activities for everyone 50 and better. Spring semester registration begins January 14th. More info available at fresnostate.edu/OLLI. The Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, where learning never ends.
And now to our main story. With the new year comes new laws, and this year, more than 900 new laws are coming on the books in California. They range from healthcare to immigration reform to drug costs to plastic waste. And today, we thought we'd run through a handful of the ones most likely to affect you. And we've brought in a Capital-based reporter to help. Sophia Bolag is a politics reporter with the San Francisco Chronicle. She's based in Sacramento, and she sat down with my colleague, associate editor Carrie Klein. Sophia begins by explaining the newest laws aimed at reining in artificial intelligence.
Artificial intelligence has been a major focus of the California legislature for a couple of years now. And this year, lawmakers passed a number of new laws that regulate the technology. Those include a new law that cracks down on AI-generated pornography. Another requires police to disclose when AI is used to write reports. There are also new laws that require large AI companies to plan for and try to prevent really catastrophic risks related to their models. And there's another that also attempts to prevent chatbots from encouraging kids to hurt themselves.
Yeah, certainly a story that's unfortunately been in the news a lot lately. But I understand that although those laws are now in the books, Governor Gavin Newsom has vetoed some other bills related to AI. Can you give us a rundown of some of those proposals and maybe his reasoning in rejecting those bills?
Yeah, this has been a pattern for Newsom ever since AI emerged as an issue that lawmakers have been trying to regulate. He supports some regulation, but is also very sensitive to concerns from technology companies who say that too much regulation would stifle their businesses, would prevent them from being innovative. And so he's really tried to strike this middle ground on regulating the technology. So a couple of the high profile bills he vetoed this year. He vetoed one that would have prohibited companies from letting kids use chatbots that promote sex or violence, even though he signed that other chatbot bill that was a little more limited in terms of the regulations there. He also vetoed another that would have banned employers from letting AI decide when to fire people. So he really tried to sort of strike out a middle ground between regulating the technology, but not doing too much to hamper the industry.
Right. And another new law brings us back to a plastic bag ban. Specifically, grocery stores will be barred from providing customers with plastic shopping bags. This has been a long-running debate, and there have been previous laws addressing this. Could you share with us the background on what led to this outright ban?
Yeah, if your listeners feel like they're experiencing a level of deja vu, they're not wrong. As you mentioned, lawmakers tried to ban plastic shopping bags back in 2014. And that law had this loophole that essentially said if plastic bags are recyclable, that those would still be okay for stores to use. And so the effect of that was really just that stores switched to these thicker plastic bags. You might remember that it used to be that you would get these really flimsy plastic bags when you would go to the grocery store. And then all of a sudden the bags were much thicker. Mm-hmm. In theory, those bags were recyclable, but in practice, that's not really what people did. And the law actually ironically resulted in an increase in plastic waste. And so this cleanup law essentially is an attempt to do the plastic bag ban for real. And based on what I've seen at my own local grocery store, I think that it seems to be working. Basically, those thicker recyclable bags are no longer allowed. And instead, stores really just have to provide paper bags. And so if your listeners have noticed in their local grocery store at the end of last year, beginning of this year, that they're starting to see paper bags instead of those plastic bags, this law is why.
So another significant law now in place is Assembly Bill 250. It has waived the statute of limitations for adult survivors of sexual assault. However, it only applies to a specific group of survivors and a specific group of alleged perpetrators. What's the intention behind this rule?
Yeah, so this applies to adult survivors of sexual assault who allege that there was some sort of cover-up by their employer or another entity in an attempt to cover up the crime. And so for people who meet the criteria in this law, the crimes that they're alleging meet these criteria, they'll now have from the start of this year through the end of next to file claims regardless of how long ago they occurred. Mm. And notably, it only applies to private institutions. So public institutions like public schools and counties, government entities are not covered under this law.
Okay, and that's partly because there's a similar law, AB 218 from a few years ago, that did something similar by extending the statute of limitations on sexual assault lawsuits, but is not quite the same as AB 250. Talk about the differences between those.
Yeah, AB 218 was a little different. First of all, it applied to childhood sexual assault cases rather than sexual assault that occurred when someone was an adult. And the result of that law was really a flood of lawsuits. And many of them were against private entities like the Catholic Church and the Boy Scouts. But many were also against public entities like public schools, counties. And essentially, it has created this immense financial pressure on many of these entities, both public and private, that have been the subject of these lawsuits. But it's been a particular burden on public schools and counties that can't just go bankrupt or go out of business because they have a duty to provide services to current children. And as a result, there's a real financial pressure on a lot of public school districts. And it's something that lawmakers are under some pressure to address. And so I think that was likely part of the thinking behind not including public institutions under this new law, AB 250.
Right. Interesting. Okay. I want to ask about one more bill. It has to do with bathrooms. Starting later this summer, all public schools will be required to have at least one gender-neutral bathroom. I understand that's a bill that passed in 2023, but is just now going into effect?
Yeah, that's a fairly common practice in the legislature. Sometimes when the state government imposes a new requirement for businesses or public entities like schools, they'll give them some time to comply. Mm-hmm. So that deadline for this particular piece of legislation is later this summer. So starting later this summer, all public schools will be required to have at least one gender-neutral bathroom.
Okay, well, Sophia Bolag, politics reporter with the San Francisco Chronicle, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
That was KVPR Associate Editor Carrie Klein speaking with San Francisco Chronicle reporter Sophia Bolag. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.